You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
We are back for another Locked On Wolves podcast. Colt Molesky, Trey Flynn, as always, bringing you daily Timberwolves content. And today we are previewing the Los Angeles Lakers, the still LeBron-less Los Angeles Lakers. Despite him being in some practices, he's still going to be sitting out with that groin injury that he suffered a few weeks ago. And so my only question is, how many points do the Timberwolves win by, Trey?
Hopefully a lot, right? Like, I mean, without LeBron, the Lakers have really struggled. And not to mention, they're also without Lonzo Ball. So he's arguably their second or third best player, according to several analysts. And since we just played them without LeBron and with Lonzo Ball only a few weeks back, and we essentially beat them like by 22 points, it looks like, 108 to 86. I'm not too worried about this game, honestly, Colton. Like, I'm pretty excited going into this one, even though I am nervous about playing a young, crafty, flashy, fast-paced basketball team. Without Lonzo and obviously without, LeBron James, the Wolves have a good chance of getting the W in this one, especially coming off a close to a 30-point win against the Phoenix Suns.
Well, the other thing, too, is not only points, but also if you're looking at assists, because Rajon Rondo is probably going to be out of this game, too. And if you're looking at LeBron James, Lonzo Ball, and Rajon Rondo, you're staring down the track of almost 20 assists that are going to be out for this team. And so not only is scoring going to be affected because LeBron James does so much scoring, and defensively because all three of those guys are pretty solid defensively, but if you're just looking at how their team kind of functions on offense, this team averages 24.4 assists per game, and they're in about 20 assists, as if you're just looking at the averages of Rondo, LeBron James, and Lonzo Ball, 20 assists are sitting on the bench. So I think that's really going to affect the flow of their offense as well, and I think all of those things are going to be a major detriment for the Lakers tonight.
Yeah, and they're also not doing too great as of late. I think they're 2-4 in the last six games. They've lost their past two games against the Golden State Warriors and Houston Rockets, which is pretty tough. Like, obviously, like those two games, you probably, cross out. You expect to lose those. But, they recently just played the Oklahoma City Thunder, and they gave Russell Westbrook and Paul George a lot to work with, and they beat them overtime 138 to 128. And Kyle Kuzma just blew up. He's like one of their spark plugs that you just kind of have to watch out for. And also just, Brandon Ingram, who didn't have a good game that game, he's one of those guys that you can't let get too much steam. He's a little bit like Andrew Wiggins, actually. They have their own Wiggins, Brandon Ingram, funnily enough. And then also just Ivica Zubac. Like, Zubac has been playing so well this season. He's been like pretty much the MVP of House of Highlights, and he's just been playing great basketball against any center. So he's interesting to watch come off the bench. So we might see Gorgui Dieng get some more playing time in here, unless he wants to fight someone.
I would love another Gorgui fight. Just to be fact-based, Rajon Rondo coming back from that finger injury, so he might play. He's up in the air for tonight. So there could be at least getting one backcourt member back. But even with him coming back, he's coming back off of a finger injury, or that finger surgery. So you don't know what kind of play you're expecting or what kind of minutes you can expect from him. One of the other guys that I'm looking at when prepping for this team, I think one of the scariest young guys, maybe even before Brandon Ingram or Kyle Kuzma, Josh Hart is somebody I love for this team. I loved him coming out of Villanova. He is an absolute grinder, and he started out the year red hot, and he kind of cooled off in like end of November, December. But he's somebody who he could really hurt the Timberwolves coming off the bench, just because he's one of those guys who could actually solidify some of the stuff that the roster does and add some balance, and he can help them defensively. He can explode with assists. He can grab some rebounds. He can start scoring. So he's one of those guys, too, where he could kind of come out of nowhere. And while there's a bunch of things that could go wrong for the Lakers, he's also one of the things that could go right for them. And so he's one of the guys I think you have to watch out for in this game.
Yeah, and it's going to be rough because Josh Hart plays really well against most backcourts in the league, but not only most backcourts, but he's going against a Timberwolves backcourt that is injury hampered tonight. So, you know, Tyus Jones and Jeff Teague are most likely going to be out tonight's game. And then you're going to see Jared Bayless possibly shoot up 11 threes again. It's quite possible to get his 28 minutes again. And obviously Robert Covington's out again. So Minnesota definitely hurt by injuries going into this game. Same as L.A. So it might just be whoever gets it rolling early might get the early punch in this game.
Well, you're absolutely right, and I think the key is going to be what won them the game last night. Let's get to that. But first, let's get to some sponsors. Trey Flynn, Colt Molesky here talking about the Los Angeles Lakers, the team that the Timberwolves are taking on in the Staples Center tonight. They are the second team in the three-game road trip that the Timberwolves embarked on, starting with the Suns the other night. And I think the keys to this game are going to be pretty similar to the keys that won them the game the other night, namely really owning the backcourt. They destroyed the Phoenix Suns on the glass, and when you have a guy like LeBron James out, I know JaVale McGee started out really hot this year, but I think that the principles this game with an injured and banged up backcourt like you're mentioning are going to be the same. Towns, Taj Gibson, Gorgie, Dario Saric, they all have to come out and really show up tonight and really own the front court and really make the game about that, because you don't want to lean too heavily on a backcourt that sustained so many injuries.
Yeah, and also like you don't want to rely on Derrick Rose to get the game-winning shot, right? Like, most likely Derrick Rose isn't going to, you know, pull up from mid-range, play iso ball like he did against Phoenix, and hit a good shot over one of the better defenders on the Suns there, Mikal Bridges. I can see that happening against LA. It's just you don't want to wait for that to happen. So obviously playing a lot like how they did against the Suns in this past game, a little bit more firing up tempo is definitely the way to go into this one. And also against the Suns, they just got lucky with like a T.J. Warren injury early, and obviously the Devin Booker ejection. But they came out fired in that first quarter, like they were ready to ball. Like they didn't want to have to win a late game against a really bad team, like the game previous to that against Phoenix again. So I hope they just come to this game again just fired up. And like you said, like Taj Gibson plays a solid game. Gorgie Jang gets more minutes in there, and even see guys like Josh Okogie hit some threes like he has in the past few games, which has been great. Okogie in the past three games actually has been hitting 42% from three and is second on the team in attempts before. So that's pretty solid. If you can keep that up, that'd be great. And then you have Karl-Anthony Towns, who's been playing still fairly good basketball the past three games. It's just that he's not shooting the three really well right now, which I'm sure can change on a night-to-night basis. But he's been getting to the free throw line like crazy with Derrick Rose, which we talked about last pod. So if Derrick Rose and Karl-Anthony Towns can control this game while Jeff Teague, Tyus Jones are presumably out, they'll be pretty good tonight.
You brought up three-point shooting. The Lakers averaged 30.8 three-point attempts in comparison to the Timberwolves, 28.7. While they're pretty close, I think if you look at just the roster that they're going to throw out there, guys like Ingram, Kuzma, even Josh Hart at times, I feel like they're more prone to go on a three-point run than the Timberwolves are. I think a lot of the defense for the Timberwolves has to just be kind of switching and being aggressive on the three-point line and getting them to play maybe a little more out of their comfort zone by playing more around the rim than usual. And not if you can hold them to under, I would say, 28 three-point attempts in this game, I think that the Timberwolves for sure have a win.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, they're such a high-volume three-point shooting team, and that's why this will be like Lonzo Ball's second game out, I think, and the past two games. And he averages 7 threes a game in the past 5 or 6 games, which is a lot. And their next guy is Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, which I would say don't worry about Caldwell-Pope, but then again, we play like the San Antonio Spurs and their DeMar DeRozan-less, and like guys like Derek White or Bryn Forbes come out and score 25 points. So maybe watch out for Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. He could be the determining factor off the bench for LA.
Worry about everyone.
Yeah, we're worried about every single player on this team. So Lance Stephenson, when he comes to the court, get scared. But anyways, there's a lot of good three-point shooters on this team. But the number one guy who I've already brought up that I'm just really worried for, which I'm kind of hoping Andrew Wiggins can tap into his Gorgie Jang against, is Kyle Kuzma. Like, in the past five games, Kuzma's averaging 25 points an outing, 50% from the field, 36% from three. He's getting to the line five times a game, and he's averaging 8 rebounds and 3 assists and a steal. Like, he's been playing, like, all-star level in the past five games with LeBron out. Everybody thought that was going to be Brandon Ingram, but Kyle Kuzma's really took over. So shout-out Kuzma, and I hope Andrew Wiggins can really just, you know, take over in this game and you know, be the better him. And it's tough because, like we've said, like, Wiggins, obviously all the listeners know, it all rides on his personality. Like, can he have an up-tempo game where he's energetic and fired up and not just doing the old Doris Burke game, which is standing in the corner, which she yelled at him and destroyed him on live TV, which I'll be destroying him not on live TV, but if I see him against Kyle Kuzma standing in the corner, I'm going to be furious, Colton.
The Doris Burke game, I love it. I do think, too, that we have an interesting progression here just as far as who the Timberwolves are playing. Listen to this. So they played the Phoenix Suns the other night, the first game of their road trip, and the Phoenix Suns' defensive rating is 28th in the NBA, averaging 112.7 on defensive rating mark. Now they are playing the Lakers, who are 7th in defensive rating. Actually, surprisingly good defensive team. 106.7 is their defensive rating. And then they're finishing out with the Utah Jazz, 4th in defensive rating, coming in at 104.6. If they can win all of these, and I know I'm getting a little ahead of my skis here, only two games in, haven't even played the second game, but if they can win all of these road games, it really does feel like they're turning their reputation on the road this season, because these teams, I know that the Lakers are injured, and I know that the Jazz have had an up and down season, and yes, they just beat the Denver Nuggets, a good Denver Nuggets team last night, but they've had a really up and down season, the Jazz have, but these are teams that are, they're progressively getting really good defensively that they're playing, and I think that that means something if you're able to come out swinging against all three of them.
Yeah, I mean, Colton, you kind of get me excited there. So we're on a two-game winning streak against Phoenix, right? And kind of going off what you're saying, going to L.A., going to Utah, playing at home against Utah, then Memphis, then Denver, then at Memphis. Those six games in a row there, those six key Western Conference games, if somehow Minnesota could pull off some kind of win streak there with LeBron James hurt over the next few games, that could be huge for Minnesota in the standings, because right now they're the 11th seed, but they're only a game and a half back from the 9th seed, which are the Lakers. And then they're 2.5 games back from the 8th seed, which are the Clippers. And we both agree that the Clippers are most likely going to fall out. And then you have the Jazz and the Spurs, the 7-6 seed. So if you can get the Clippers to fall out there, and then you're Minnesota and you can get a solid win against L.A., and then you can maybe get a win at one of those two Utah games, you could see the Timberwolves fall into that 8th spot in the next week, Colton, which would be crazy based on what this season's been like, with a roller coaster roster and a roller coaster lineup of injuries and not injuries and inconsistency from some of our star players. So that'd be fantastic. Like, going into the 3-4th season and getting an 8th seed and kind of like trying to secure that and lock that up, that'd be great moving forward. And it's just kind of a mirror image of what we got from last year with the Timberwolves based on standings, fighting for that 8th seed with the Denver Nuggets. Now, obviously, the Nuggets are battling for the first seed, which is a complete flip-flop there. But I think they could do it, man. I really do. It looks good.
I'm just saying that I wouldn't discount the win over the Lakers, even though they have the injuries, because they have been a surprisingly good defensive team. And so I do think that I think it's important when a team turns things around, even if it's incremental steps. You know, you got to take the baby steps. Heralding back to what about Bob? You got to take the baby steps.
Oh, yeah. Baby steps are key. Baby steps are key. Like, I think, and I'm awfully hard on Minnesota, like I have been in the past pods, but they've won some really good games lately. Like, they beat the Lakers a few weeks ago, then the Thunder, then the Pelicans, and then they almost beat the Spurs. That would have been a really solid win. Now they're on a two-game winning streak. So maybe they are doing better than they look right now, Colton, and we're just getting a little, you know, antsy because these injuries, understandably, and the head coach, you know, firing, which was insane midseason. So maybe they can pull out this win tonight, and they could surprise and turn some heads.
Let's get to some sponsors, and then we'll finish out with predictions. Colt Molesky, Trey Flynn talking about the Los Angeles Lakers. The Minnesota Timberwolves are on the road for the second consecutive game, playing the Lakers in the Staples Center. And we've given you some reasons, if you're listening, you're a Timberwolves fan and not a Lakers fan, we have given you some reasons to be hopeful about this game, to get excited for this game. And I really think that there's going to be some things Towns can do, that there's going to be some openings for him. I think that Derrick Rose is going to go out and get his. Despite injuries, I just think that he's going to go up. I think that you can pretty much bank on Rose getting at least 20 every night. And then I think that guys like Josh Okogie, Andrew Wiggins could have sneaky good games here as well. And let's remember, Wiggins loves the spotlight, and there's no bigger spotlight than in L.A., and so I think this could be one of those games where he just brings it. And I think that all adds up to a Timberwolves win. I'm calling Timberwolves win this game 112-105. That's my prediction.
Yeah, I'm going to stick with that prediction as well. I definitely think it's going to be a 5-7 point win here, so I'll stick with that line. The starting lineup for Los Angeles is going to change a lot going into this game. Like, they're going to start off with like guys like Hart, Caldwell Pope, Kuzma, Ingram, Chandler, and then probably move Zubac in there, and then their young guy Shvi that everybody loves in LA, and even JaVale McGee and Michael Beasley, Lance Stevenson are going to get a lot of minutes in this game. So it's just going to be a weird rotation for LA, a lot like what the Wolves fans lately have seen with Phoenix without DeAndre Ayton. They were kind of playing a lot of different lineups there, especially like Dragan Bender getting 30 minutes a game. So just expect some players you haven't seen get a lot of minutes if you're a viewer tonight. Like, it's going to be an odd game, but again, I think because it's an odd game, I believe because the Lonzo Ball injury and LeBron James injury, and obviously Rajon Rondo injury, those are going to prevent LA from getting some serious comebacks in the second half if they're down, because they don't maybe have that veteran that can score at will. And I think Minnesota does have that in Karl-Anthony Towns and Derrick Rose right now. So again, I agree, Colton, with you. The 7-point win, it looks good.
Well, another thing too, this could be kind of a sneaky Saric game if he comes out defensively, because Taj Gibson at the four versus Kyle Kuzma, I think that Taj can pull out some tricks, some veteran tricks to throw at Kuzma, but I really think I like the Saric versus Kuzma matchup even better on defense. And if he comes out and plays minutes early against Kuzma and really locks him up, especially on the three-point line, I think that he might actually stay in an extended period of time tonight.
Yeah, like I really hope so. Like, we've been talking about Saric playing better basketball. That would be fantastic. He's just been playing so inconsistent as of late. Like, in the past three games, Golden. All right, it's only three games. It's a micro sample. I like my past three game stats. Darius Saric is averaging 5 points a game. He's shooting 31% from the field, 25% from three, 66% from the free throw line, 5 boards, and 1 assist, barely a steal. Like, Dario Saric has just been so bad in the past three games that he's almost unplayable, and that's why guys like Jared Bayless were getting more minutes. So I would love to see a blow-up game from Saric. He's one of my favorite players on this team. I think he deserves more minutes with a solid starting lineup in Towns and Wiggins. Even though he does get to play with them a lot, I want to see him play with them all the time, not with Tolliver. And I think if he gets some good minutes tonight against an injured, hampered L.A. team and then kind of has a good game like Wiggins does in a primetime spot in L.A., we could see a big game from Saric. So I like that call. That's a really good call, especially based on how poorly he's been doing.
Definitely needs the turnaround, needs to drag himself out of that slump. And there's no better time to do it than when the Timberwolves are on the road, for sure. That's it for us here at the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.